being in the business that I'm in, which is religion and at least two of the things that I do on a weekly and a daily basis. One is ministry and the other is teaching up at the University of Judaism, actually the former University of Judaism. It's now American Jewish University. It's the only Jewish institution ever to change its name and make it longer. People naturally come to me and say, well, you must be religious. And how can you be religious? And isn't there something wrong with you being religious? And isn't there something really wrong just with religion in general? What is it that Unitarians believe? What is it that religious liberals of any kind, any stripe, believe? I get charged, you know, at cocktail parties. People will come running up to me and make me defend religion and say, whoa, just a second. Do you guys believe in God? And if you believe in God, why are there bad things in the world? Our hymn was really interesting. Our hymn was really interesting because I don't think Unitarian Universalists believe that we're going to a land where there will be peace and justice and singing. To cut to the last line of the sermon, we believe that we got to make a land where there will be peace and justice and singing. And that we do it and we live it because our religion is not something separate out there. It is not essentially about belief. It is about how we are and how we live. People will come up and say, but religion is just terrible. Look at what religion has done in the world. Look at all of the wars. Look at all of the strife. Look how we destroy each other in the name of religion. How can you defend religion? I don't defend religion. I just do what a politician does. I change the subject and say, but the real question is, now watch the politicians during this political season, and they'll say, oh yes, that's very good, but the real question is not about our religion. It's about who we are as human beings. It's the values that we choose to believe and the values we choose to act on. It's the world that we build with our actions or the infrastructure that we let deteriorate through our inaction or our depression or our withdrawal. It isn't about what I believe, essentially, and it isn't about what you believe, essentially, theologically. Because religion does not have to have a theology in order to be a religion. Religion is about community. And there is clearly, from my point of view, there are clearly, from my point of view, decent and indecent human beings of every religious persuasion and every secular persuasion. Religion, to me, is not the cause of our violence and our greed and our jealousy, but our greed and our jealousy and our fear is the cause of our violence, and religion is the organizing principle that we use. In the absence of religion, we find another organizing principle with which to go after each other and be intolerant of each other and hateful of each other. We can make it race. We can make it gender. We can make it sexuality. We can make it tribe. We can make it anything about which we disagree, because the issue will never be, will human beings agree on everything? We won't. I assume you all agree about that. It is how we disagree. It's not, are there going to be arguments in your church? Of course there will be arguments in your church or your temple or your mosque. Will there be arguments in your home? Yes, there will be arguments in your home. Anybody have a home with no arguing? If you do, you got somebody who surrendered and isn't being authentic, which at times I know you may long for, but trust me, there is a lack of intimacy when somebody is just yesing you and you don't have the presence of a real person. A lot of people, when they're charging religion, say, but look, our churches and our temples are filled with hypocrites. They're filled with people that say, we believe in love, we believe in justice, we believe in peace. And then they argue amongst each other, and they fight with each other, and they gossip, and they backbite, and look at how terrible religious people are in that. Religious communities, like therapeutic communities, like political parties, like charitable organizations, are filled with people who argue, who fight, who are occasionally hypocritical and don't live up to our finest values and aspirations. We can run from ourselves, but we can't hide. And just abandoning religion, if we could, would not lead to a greater, more peaceful world out there or in here. We will always find the things about which to contend. I was saying to somebody earlier today, we always have, in any kind of community, issues of competition, of jealousy. In the academic community, in the clergy community, in the church community, in the business community, because what binds all of these things together is when you bring people together, you find out that whatever your education and whatever your IQ and whatever your age, you are really never too old to act like you're in junior high school. And there are good parts about that, and there are not so good parts about that. I actually look forward to finding out more about this today. Yesterday and last night, my wife had a junior high school reunion, and I can't wait to find out exactly what they did. If they returned to those thrilling days of yesteryear when they were beset by acne and insecurity, as opposed to now when we are beset by aging and insecurity. The issues change, but there's a continuity about it. The most important and what I think true criticism of so much religion is that people will come up to me and say, look, the religious aren't really serious about being religious. They only are religious on Sundays or on Saturdays or on Fridays. One day a week they're religious and the rest of the time they're lying and stealing and cheating, and then they go to temple, to mosque, to church, and they get absolution so that they can go back out there and be the miserable people that they are during the course of the entire week. That is a misunderstanding and a misuse of religion. Real contrition, real forgiveness demands insight and the idea that you are actually going to change something that you do. So just getting a ritual absolution, okay, you're forgiven. Well, in our case, it's a question mark. Okay, you're forgiven. And being let off the hook if there's no lesson learned, if there's nothing that is changed inside, is empty ritual. It's very important if we want to not be hypocritical or at least muddled in our thinking to understand that ritual is not a replacement for righteousness. Ritual does not get you off the hook. Ritual is supposed to remind you how better to be, how better to live, how better to be in touch with your own values. So it's not a question of mumbo-jumbo absolution. It's a question of understanding that there are always opportunities of getting it not simply here in our heads, but fully in our hearts and in our minds to the place where we are living our religion. Religion is not what we believe about God. Religion is not what we sing. It is not what we pray for in a public sense. Religion is how every day we lead our lives. It is true, there are an awful lot of people for whom religion is exactly like the furniture in the living room. You all know what I'm talking about? Bill, you don't know what I'm talking about? There are many households where nobody ever uses the furniture in the living room except on rare and party occasions. And for a lot of people, that's religion. It is the great occasion religion. But religion is where we live. Religion is not the living room with the covered furniture. Religion is the kitchen, the den, the rumpus room. It's sharing the bathrooms. It is the common space where we spend our lives. Because religion is not about belief, it is about practice. You practice your faith, you don't believe it. I've used this paragraph in the past, but since the older children are supposed to be here.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me explain this to you. Religion is about life. It's not about what we think about an afterlife. It's not about what we think about a God, about whether God is a real world, a real word, a useful word, whether God is one or immanent in a Spinozistic sense. Religion is about the miracle that there is life, that there are at least in this room some carbon-based units that are alive, that can think, that can laugh, can dance, can cry, can argue, can fight, can make love, can make peace, and come back together again in a loving community. Religion is something that we do with our lives. It isn't about belief. I'm often asked, and this is the part that is a repetition, I'm often asked if I believe in God. And I give, of course, the Clintonian response, it depends on what you mean by believe, it depends on what you mean by God. But the truth is, it's the wrong word. It's not about belief. Nobody asks me if I believe in love. They ask me if I love, if I give love, if I receive love, if I experience it, but it's not about belief. And faith in a person, in a relationship, is not about belief. It's about experience. It's about something that touches and opens and moves and creates vulnerability and creates meaning and creates joy and creates fear and creates the whole panoply of human emotion and experience. Do I believe in it? You bet I believe in it. In terms of the experience, when it's an abstract issue of what are the symbols that I use to try to focus my connection to the source of life and meaning, to that mystery that we chanted about and sang about, it's important to me what those symbols might be. It's important to me what songs or prayers or mantras will move me towards a sense of connection with the source of life. But it is not important to me what moves you. And it shouldn't be important to you what moves me. These are deeply personal issues, and it's often, if not always, kind of silly to fight about what it is that moves you, what it is that connects you, what it is that makes you feel a part of this experience, this miracle that we experience for a time together. Religion, as it says in the Gospels, the religious are known by their fruits, not by their beliefs. By what we do, not by what we say. By doing justice, not believing in justice. By walking humbly and not saying, I am the best and my religion is the best and you are all lost, cursed, damned, and anathema. All of those abuses of religion exist, but they exist in all non-religious fields also. Our religion is something to be practiced in daily life. As Unitarian Universalists, the issue is not so much what we believe about those big questions, but the smaller questions of how human beings are with each other. We believe in democracy. We believe in giving respect to each other. And respect is not the same as accepting any behavior whatsoever, but it is respecting the integrity of other human beings, of other faith traditions, of other political persuasions, who march to different drummers, who respond to different music. We believe in life. We believe that whatever might come next, whatever your instincts or beliefs or hopes or fears are, we believe that what we do here today is important and makes a difference in the world. We believe in each other. That's an important belief. And I put this in the framework of the word belief, because I want to tell you that my true faith is as irrational as the faith of any religious group that you can find. When Unitarians want to criticize people who believe in miracles and incarnations and other sorts of things, fine, go ahead, if you don't relate to them. But please understand that, at least for me, my core faith is completely non-empirical. And if I'm going to use any kind of scientific method on it, I got to be wrong. But I can't be. Because I, at my core, am an optimist. That's my faith. I believe that human beings can learn, despite history that shows kind of otherwise. I believe that we can improve, despite an awful lot of history that doesn't seem to really support my case. I believe that we can learn how to give up war and channel our differences into something constructive. I believe that we can get past our phobias to tolerance and past tolerance to celebration. Those are irrational beliefs. And I stand firmly upon my irrational faith. Because, as I talked about a little bit last week, the price of not believing that is very high. The price of saying, well, we're doomed, doesn't create a clarion call to engage the world and to improve the world. If you believe the world's going to end, why clean up your mess? If you believe that the poor are just going to be poor forever, why feed them? If you believe that the ecological disaster or the theological sins, either one of them, are just inevitably going to lead to the end of the world, why get up in the morning? The reason I get up in the morning is there are little things that every human being can do to try to put our core values, which I understand as religion, into action. That we might not succeed, I can live with that. That not trying is the ultimate sin, as far as I'm concerned. That's my belief. Now, all the seven deadly sins, therapists and theologians have gotten together and decided the very worst of the sins was not gluttony and not lust and not greed, but the very most dangerous sin was sloth. Because it's the ultimate depression that takes us out of the world. We come to church not to get a theological truth from the minister. We come to church not to have a special service that will forgive us all of our sins. We come to church to see each other, to have the experience of joining in song, and the experience of a bunch of small voices being joined together and the whole being greater than the sum of its parts, and that is both metaphor and experience. And it is an empowering experience. We come to church because the world is very difficult and complex, and we don't come here to hide from life. We come here to get the buzz and the energy of other people who don't necessarily agree with us, but believe that life is worth living and the world is worth engaging. We come here not to get a theological transcendent truth, but a smaller human transcendent truth, that we give each other energy and hope, not a certainty of outcome, but a heartbeat and a rush of adrenaline and hope that leads to action that will always be less than we could possibly do, but also more than we could back away from doing if we just give up on the world. Religion is not something out there too holy to touch. It's not something out there just to be done on your one holy week or your one holy hour. It is something to plug into, to connect us with each other, and with each other to connect to the source of life and to the people with whom we share this world. That belief that we make a difference, that is at the core of our faith. But it's only real when that faith leads to action and we join together to take steps towards building that land where we are not bound inevitably, but we are bound to build, where there is peace, where there is justice, where there is singing.